Oh God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Today's gospel lesson, like so many others, is one that strikes anxiety in me and has ideas that have been used destructively for far too long. Yet it's also a passage of great hope and great promise. It's one of many passages in Scripture in which our own interpretation probably tells us more about what we think, what we believe about ourselves, and what we believe about God. On first reading of Jesus' story, it seems that God is not only a slave owner, but a master who works slaves mercilessly. In the face of this master, we work tirelessly, knowing that we are only worthless slaves. This fits well into a story I used to believe, but one of those stories that can stay deep within you. In the story of the Christianity that I grew up with, I was told that sin had corrupted me to the point that I was so fundamentally flawed that God wanted nothing to do with me unless I believed in a certain way and acted accordingly. Much emphasis was placed on remembering my plight as a worthless servant, one that should be happy and grateful with the assurance that at least I was a worthless servant on the right side. At least I was in the household of God. I think many of us grew up with some version of this story. Perhaps it came from religious teaching too, or from parents or family or close friends. Someone who had a special entry into your heart, whose words and actions made you believe that you were simply worthless, and that you should be grateful and happy for whatever meager offering they made to sustain your life and your soul. I also struggle with the beginning of this passage because of that story. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed. Honestly, I can't say that I have any great desire to throw a tree into an ocean, but when I hear that only a tiny amount of faith would make me capable of such great miracles in the natural world, it makes me wonder that if I only had more faith, then surely I would be capable for miracles that I do actually long for. It makes me think, if I only had more faith, maybe I would be able to heal the wounds in my family. I could rescue people from destructive cycles that entangle them. If only a little faith is possible for a huge miracle, how small must mine be when I can't even stop saying things that hurt the people I love most? The problem with this story, that I am worthless, that I am capable of very little that makes a difference in this world, is not that it's completely untrue, but that I already know too well how true it is. I know I'm broken in a way I can't mend. When I read of the many times in history when thousands of people have been senselessly killed, and when I read in the news and see for myself that the same thing still happens today, I'm overwhelmed with the smallness of my own life and the tidal wave of human living and dying. All too often I wonder if what I do has significance in the face of suffering in our world. Or in the end, will it all be worthless? I don't think I'm alone in these questions. We don't have to look too far in our world to get this story taken to its conclusion. The problem is that the end of the story is that is the end of the story that surrounds us all too often. I don't need faith to know that story. I need faith to know that it's not the whole story. Deep in my heart, I hope that God has more to say about me, about life. And God does. This is the heart of the gospel, that story that we hear over and over, the story that our world tells all the time, isn't the whole story. The gospel says that there is more to our story, more to the reality of this world, and that this is the message of hope that our world longs to hear, the message we must share. The passage we read this morning follows on the heels of Jesus telling his disciples what it means to be part of the kingdom he is proclaiming, what it means to follow him and live as the people of God, which is far different from the way of the world they know and the world we know. What he teaches them is hard, harder than thousands of external laws to keep. He tells them that they have culpability if they cause others to sin. That fundamentally their lives are responsible to each other. Even more difficult, he tells them that if someone hurts them, they are to forgive them as many times as that person repents. Life in this community is not easy. It calls for a love and care for each other that the disciples wonder if they have. And so it's to this teaching that the disciples exclaim at the beginning of our passage, "Lord, increase our faith." They want faith enough to live that life. The way of Jesus is far different from the way of the world. The way God sees and values each human life is different from the way we see ourselves and each other. And our sin and brokenness goes so deeply within us and our world that we even struggle to know God for who God is. And sometimes we expect God to see and treat us as we treat each other. This passage really changed for me when I finally noticed that we never actually hear the voice of God speaking directly in this passage. Jesus begins the pericope by saying, "Who among you would say to your slave?" There's so much truth in these words of Jesus. Who among us would give the one serving us their own place at the table? Most of humanity has shown that we don't often invite the servant to the table. Even today, we can certainly condemn slavery, but we don't ask those who labor to support our lifestyle to enjoy the fruits of our feast with us. And then Jesus flips the analogy so that we are the servants, and it is again we who speak and say we are worthless slaves. But never in here is it what God says, and we must remember that. This is not the way of God, not the way of relating that God is bringing into our world. The story God is telling has a different ending. This is one of the times that we must know the greater story of the arc of Scripture, the gospel that we proclaim. Because only a few chapters earlier in Luke, in the same book we're reading from, Jesus also uses this master-slave analogy. But that time, the master does have the servants sit at the table, and the master serves his servants. I think many of us are very familiar with Psalm 23, where God sets a table before me. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that he no longer calls us servants, but friends. The order of the world in which the best we can hope for is meager survival, when servants simply serve and toil while a master may eat and drink, but actually does so alone. This way in which our relationships with others and even with God make us believe that we are worthless, that even when our heart cries out for more, cries out that we were created for more, we have lost hope in anything more than simple survival. That is the way that God came to rescue us from. It is what Jesus says will not be the way among his followers. For they will care for each other and forgive rather than responding with what they think others deserve. That tit-for-tat, vengeful, selfish way that the world expects. And just teaching this way is not the whole story of our Christ. Our story is that God came and lived this way in our world, that he showed a different way and died at the hands of that living. Our God said, "I would rather die than be part of this way of life." Our story is that God died in this system and rose again to overcome it, to open for us a different way. Life that is really life. Life that our hearts know we were created for. Life that is full of joy shared among all of us. There is so much more to our story. In our story, we know when God speaks to us, we hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." We are invited into God's joy. And that's what we celebrate here today, here around this table. It's the invitation of God that goes out to all of us, whether we believe we are worthy or not. The very life of God was given to prepare a table and invite us to come, eat, and drink. We come to this table knowing that it's not about the size of our faith, but about the infinite love of God which is healing our world. And our collect says, "God is always more ready to hear than we to pray and to give more than we desire or deserve." All that we have, including faith and our very life itself, is a gift from God, who is always ready to give more than we even know how to desire. And so we too are invited to give our lives, to be part of this way of life, be part of telling this story of hope, of sharing with the world the place that is already theirs at the table of life with the God who loves us more than we can imagine. So today, may you hear the invitation of our God. May you come, eat, and drink. This is prepared for you. Amen.